Brandon Lambeg. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. I would just like to challenge Mr. Shiver's idea of there's no homeless people in Northern Ireland. I would encourage him to get the next bus from Cloud Cuckoo Land and maybe go down to stand outside the Salvation Army Hostel in Victoria Street at 10 o'clock at night, where the single homeless people line up in a queue right round to Tomb Street, waiting to try and get a bed, and they are at capacity every night.
Frank?
I've done it. We contacted homeless, as I explained in the story. And maybe I don't proclaim to be any expert in this. I'm just giving you what I've been told from homeless charities and from what I've seen and spoke to a very small number of homeless people in Belfast. What I would ask, Stephen, is that possibly you go to the homeless charity, your researchers go to the homeless charities and see there's certainly not 9,000 homeless people in Northern Ireland. That's without question, I'm sure. I think that the increase, or whether there's been an increase in homeless, is down to how those people are assessed and judged to be homeless.
Are you buying this, Brian?
No, I'm not, because whenever they talk about the 9,000 homeless, yes, they include families who have lost their houses and are put in temporary accommodation. But the idea of promoting this idea that there's no anybody sleeping on the streets or doing it because of mental health or drink or drugs is just wrong to promote. These people, there is a large cobalt of people who are single and homeless. And yes, maybe they are turning to drink and drugs to try and comfort themselves in the situation they have because they don't see any future in their lives. And it's just so arrogant to say, oh, there's no such thing as homeless people in Northern Ireland.
Sorry,
there is.
I'm certainly not being arrogant, Brian. I'm just conveying to you what I was told when we went out as a group, collective of business people, to try and help homeless people. We were told that there was nobody of their own. And basically what we were wanting to do was suit and boot them, get them an interview, get them into a job, get them temporary accommodation in with a private landlord and move them on. We went and approached the homeless charities to do that. And
yeah, maybe instead of going and approaching the chief executive of some homeless charity in a £60,000 a year job and company car, maybe you should go down on the streets and actually go to a homeless person and ask them, are you homeless? Yeah, do you want our help? Yes or no? Go direct. Stop this poncing about and then coming on the radio and spouting crap whenever you don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, look, that's just a ridiculous statement.
Which part of that's ridiculous?
Well, Brian, to be fair, he went out onto the streets and met homeless people.
I challenge you to take Mr. Shivers tonight. I challenge you to take Mr. Shivers tonight down to the Salvation Army Hostel in Victoria Street, and if there's nobody outside queuing to get in because they're homeless, I will come on the radio tomorrow and I will apologise to Mr. Shivers.
What time will we see you there?
10 o'clock tonight.
Not a problem. I'll be there.
Okay, Stephen, are you going to be there?
No, absolutely not, but I'll send Vinny out.
Vinny's off for the weekend.
Bran, thank you.
If I could just come in there, Stephen, you know, I mean, as I say, I've voted the whole magazine, 32 pages are looking at homelessness, and the situation is pretty grim for all sorts of reasons. But what the argument that seems to come through is the need for social housing. The thing is, they don't build new houses. They don't build them. So what we have is a lot of people reliant on the private sector and they're reliant on housing associations who don't have the capacity for the number of people who need homes in Northern Ireland. So you just can't look at people and homeless on the streets. That is a terrible indictment, but it's not the only picture of why people are homeless and why we have. And it's not just here. I mean, it's right through the UK, the homeless figures, and those figures have increased for one reason, very simple reason, and I would argue that it's Frank's party who have had an austerity offensive that has devastated people's lives. People's lives are devastated. You know, the growth.
And I'm actually involved with a company trying to do social housing in Northern Ireland.
Look, I know we've gone down the homeless route here, and that's fair enough. But there are other aspects within this story that we should be talking about today. Remember what the top line is that there is now full employment in Northern Ireland. We were asking at the top of the show if it feels like that. Don't forget one aspect within this are these zero-hour contracts or contracts where, you know, are people described as being fully employed if they're on one-day-a-week contracts? You know, I know some young people in the BBC, for example, are on contracts where they're only guaranteed one day a week, and the BBC decides to bring them in 3 days, 4 days, 1 week, no days the next week, one day here, one day there. You know, is that called full employment? And I'm bringing up the BBC because that's probably reflective and indicative of how many businesses throughout Northern Ireland work now. Is that full employment? John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, yes, my son is exactly one of those people that you're speaking about. He gets one shift a week. And because he gets more than we get in the dole, he can't claim. So therefore, he is one of those people that would supposedly be in full-time employment. But the other issue, too, that your speaker brought up about how wages have risen this last 10 years. If you took the time to watch the news last night, you would have found out, yes, wages have risen this last 10 years, but the average working man is £14 a week worse off than he was 10 years ago. So I don't know where he's coming from there, but all this so-called wealth we're all getting. Your previous caller said it was a lot of nonsense. I think 100% right there. You know, when you talk about the zero-hour contracts, there's over 1.2 million people on zero-hour contracts at the moment.
And so with your son, what way does that work for his life? He's guaranteed one shift a week, is that it?
One shift a week. He hasn't had a shift in 2 weeks. So he's 23 years of age. For all he gets, we can't take any money off the kid because he needs a bit of a life himself. So, as I say, he's living in poverty, basically.
So he's no chance then of getting a mortgage? Or
not a hope in hell to get the mortgage. He's hoping to get to university, so he is this year. And hopefully that works for him, and then he will maybe get the hell out of this place. So that's what he's up to. That's his plans anyway. You know, because he's already told me, he says, Dad, there's no way I stay in this place. If I get into university, I'm out of it.
I wonder how those contracts legally work, by the way. Where you're giving someone one day a week. Do they incur rights? You know, if they're on one day a week and they end up coming in 2 or 3 days a week, week in, week out, month,
because
then
they wouldn't get any rights, Damon, because they'd be classed as self-employed, most of these people. So if they don't have any rights, they'd be dismissed at any time the employer wants to dismiss them. They've absolutely nothing going for them. It's an abuse, nothing more. I'd love to meet the person who sat around the table and come up with that idea, because it only takes one person to come up with that, and then the rest of them agree to it. Oh, that's a good idea. I would love to meet that person. If I can give them a slap in the ear.
Why?
Because it's a grotesque policy that they come up with. There's no other word to describe it.
Or is that modern business?
Stephen, it's a modern business. Okay, we take this place over here. We had the corporation tax was going to be reduced for them. The RHI was going to be introduced to them to save the money on their heating, to save the money on their tax. And what are they going to do with it? And then they employ, let's say, zero-hour contracts. All the employers are doing is putting in their back pocket and saying thank you. They're not investing at all for the people.
John, thank you. Tony in Lagmore. Morning, Tony.
Yeah, I want to confirm the statement that the last person there made. I was listening to the same economist last night, and he was reckoning, and in the last 10 years, people who are working are £750 a year worse off from what they were 10 years ago, from this whole austerity and this government. And getting on to the zero-hour contracts, I agree with them there 100%. I know loads of people around here who, if they get one day a week, they're lucky. That's taking us back to the shipyards with the lockouts, where they decided who they employ and not who they employ. We went back, this Conservative government, we went back 50 to 60 years. You know, why is people not...
But is that not modern business in the modern day world?
Yeah, it was modern business back in the 50s or 40s, whenever there were people were turned away and people were starving. We've actually went back in time. You know, I can't understand how people aren't out in the streets protesting about all this.
Zero-hour contracts, you mean?
Yeah, about that and everything else that's going on.
These type of stories sometimes come up on the Nolan Show. I'm very aware that sometimes a story comes up and there's a whole different world for a group of people in Northern Ireland compared to another group. In other words, there will be many people listening to this programme this morning who for their whole lives they have been used to having a full-time job. In other words, they come in, they're guaranteed a salary 5 days a week, off they go home again, they've got the pension, they've got their sickness pay, they've got all of that. And then for another group of people, they're on these zero-hour contracts. They don't know when they're working. They don't know what day they're working. They don't know how many days they're getting. And it's just a different world for them, Tony.
It is. Yeah, I know. But it's a different world. But
and as I say, you know, I'm aware of it because it happens in the BBC. It happens in BBC Northern Ireland. I see some of the young people, you know, running around BBC Northern Ireland, and they're on these one-day-a-week contracts.
Yeah. You see, that's all right for maybe students who are at university, but what about a man who's trying to run a family or a young ones coming up, and there's no other money coming in, only this
I get it, and obviously I'm at the other end of the spectrum, I'm well paid, etc., but there were a couple of young people coming up to me recently in here, and they're in their 30s, their 40s, they're trying to get a mortgage, they're trying to do all of that, and it's a different world.
Yeah.
They don't know when they're working, they don't know how they're working, they don't know how long they're working, they don't know how many days they're getting, they're maybe here 2, 3, 4 years on one day a week. How do you start a family?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting at as well, Stephen. You know, this government has brought the people back to the 1940s, you know, when people were queuing up to get jobs, well, I'll have you, I'll take you, I won't take you, but I'll take you. You mean there was the Manchester marches back in the times of the big strikes. You know, why aren't people out in arms, and not arms, but out protesting against this? You know, because it is unbelievable.
Could I give a different perspective on it? Stephen, as a small employer, I can give you the facts. So, and I do believe that that's not right. But the facts for a small employer in Northern Ireland, which is 90-odd% of employers in Northern Ireland are deemed small business people. Me and my wife worked or would work 60, 70 hours in the coffee shop. We've closed it there. We closed it last September. We had people with zero-hour contracts, and that was really because we couldn't pay them. There was weeks that my wife and myself were working 60, 70 hours.
Can I just explain
where I'm coming from as a small employer, trying to do my best in the economy?
Let him finish, please,
and then by all means, I'll let you respond. Weeks and sometimes for months, we would come out with nothing, and I mean nothing, having to dip into savings or whatever way we could to pay wages. That's the reality of it. The rates people on your back looking for rates money, VAT, looking for VAT, national insurance contributions, and you're working your butt off. And the reason why you're bringing people in for maybe one day, and the people that worked for us were fantastic. They were absolutely the best people. We had a lady who, her husband was off on a Friday, so she was able to do a Friday, and it suited her. The 0 hours contract suited her, because if her husband had to go into work or they wanted to do something, she said, look, I'm sorry, I can't come in on Friday. And we had to pick that up.
Okay,
so
go ahead.
Some people.
Okay, go ahead, Tony.
Right. Number one, you're working for yourself. You're trying to build a business. That's a difference from a person who is out in the streets trying to get a job, who, right, not only that, you're a very bad economist. You're talking about the rates going up and all this going up. If people were in full employment, people would be able to pay higher taxes. You know, you aren't a very good economist. Okay.
We've got hit over the past. Small business people have got hit over the past with the increase in the living wage continually every couple of years, it seems. And just as you sort of... there's only a certain amount of money can go round.
Let me bring in Edward.
You've got to make it work.
Let me bring in Edward and Lauren. Morning, Edward.
Good morning, Tony, Stephen.
Go ahead,
Edward. Stephen, I've just been listening to the programme, and there was a wee point you made there about the BBC.
Yeah.
Have people working on zero-hour contracts.
Well, they have people, the BBC, let me just be precise about this now. We can find out, actually. Here's how we'll be precise. We'll put a question in the BBC Northern Ireland right now, asking them how many zero-hour contracts they use in Northern Ireland. I do know that there's some young people in here on one-day-a-week contracts, Edward.
Yes.
What's the point you're trying to make?
We'll put the question in and we'll ask.
Because, you know, we are part of Northern Ireland as well.
Yes,
so
I understand
We'll put a question in.
Well, the whole thing would be, I understand that, but I'm greatly surprised that the BBC are getting involved with these zero-hour contracts. Also, anybody, because...
Well, I don't know if it's zero-hour contracts, but,
right.
they certainly... Let me put it like this. BBC Northern Ireland, absolutely, definitely, because I know this, have people working in here where they're on one-day-a-week contracts, but those people sometimes work 3 and 4 days a week, but they're only guaranteed one. Now, you could say that in a flexible market in Northern Ireland, where the BBC maybe need to protect your licence fee, they maybe need to, you know, not give those people full-time jobs. On the other hand, you could say, well, look, if you're a young person and, you know, you're maybe working for 3 or 4 years in the BBC, then, you know, how do you start a family? What do you do? And we're not just talking about the BBC here, Edward. We're talking about other public companies and other private sector companies.
The point I would like to make is I believe that zero-hour contracts, full stop, as exploitation of people. And the Conservative government have a policy of doing this. I'm going back to years ago. They had a policy where you get £10 a week on top of your benefit to work for people, and people were exploited back then. And instead of, I would say, if you can't give a person a week's work and a week's pay, don't take them on. Give the labour as worthy as hire. And I would say treat people with respect. And I detest this, because I was faced with this one time. I was asked to go to work for a man up in Carrick for a week to paint and decorate for £10 on top of my benefit, right? And I asked him straight, say, would you be prepared to pay me a week's wages for a week's work? He says no. You see, and these people are jumping onto the bandwagon, exploiting people at the expense of these people's poverty.
But you're saying it's exploiting people, Edward.
Yes,
but
what about
business need? What about if a company some weeks needs someone 1 day a week and some weeks needs someone 2, 3, 4 days a week? What about companies who don't want to allow people to build up rights so that they don't know how long they're going to need them for, and they don't want them to become full-time employees? Like, that's the reality of a marketplace.
Yes, but what about the person on the receiving end? It's them I'm concentrating on.
Yeah.
Well, they have a choice not to accept it. They have a choice
But I tell you straight my opinion. I would abolish the zero contracts, the whole thing.
That's not going to be very efficient, though, is it?
Listen. The Conservative government are famous for this, to keep the working man down. And to keep the working man down and give them, and they're, all they want to do is give the employers the clout. Give them, and where they can treat the people, call them whenever they like, dispose of them whenever they like.
Tell you what, stay there, Edward. We'll continue with this for a few more calls. This conversation, as often happens on the Nolan Show, has gone off on a number of different tangents. We started off today looking at this story about full employment in Northern Ireland and asking you, does it feel like that? Now, where you have brought the conversation this morning is into workers' rights and these zero-hour contracts and these one-day-a-week contracts. Those are contracts where a company is saying, look, you know, we're employing you, but we don't know when and we don't know for how long. And there are two different schools of thought on that. You heard one caller this morning, Edward and Lauren, saying, look, these contracts are exploitation. And I'm trying to provide, in my role as a host this morning, I'm trying to provide the counter view on behalf of those employers who don't know how much work they have. And they can't commit to someone if they don't know what the business need is from 1 week to the next. So is this just part of the modern day business environment? 0330 80 55 55 is the number to call. Can I just check again, Edward and Lauren, why you're saying this is exploitation? Why?
Because of what happened years ago. And Lauren, here, there was a place called McCullough's Personnel Service, right?
Yeah.
And you were employed. They contacted you to someone who would employ you for X number of days, whatever, weeks, whatever.
Well, hold on now. You've named the business there. So
sorry about that.
Yeah, hold on. It would be unfair for us to continue.
Sorry about that.
Right, so let's not talk
about them.
But just tell me why. Let me rephrase the question to you.
Right.
Why can't you understand that in this really competitive environment where where companies are trying to protect costs, right, in order to stay alive, some businesses. Well, why don't you understand that they need the flexibility with their workforce?
Yes, well, that may be, but what about the person who has to make plans for their life? You heard one of your callers was on there this morning, the young fella who wants to go to college, right?
Yeah.
What plans can he make?
Well,
he's sitting waiting for the phone to ring, doesn't know when, waiting for someone to call him. He's required somewhere, etc.
But the counter to that is, do you want companies to be forced to pay him even if they've no work for him?
No. Listen, at the end of the day, you ever have a vacancy for, my opinion is, you should either have a vacancy for a job or not a vacancy. I was self-employed myself, and I had a young fellow working for me, with me, and I tell you, I wouldn't have treated them like that. I would not have treated them the way some people have been treated.
Someone here has emailed me and said, Stephen, I'm with a major public organisation for the last 3 years. I'm subject to requirements. I'm employed through an agency. Therefore, here today, gone tomorrow, low pay. Norman, morning, Norman. What do you think of these contracts?
Morning, Stephen. Let's face the facts. These figures are fabricated. If you look over the last year in this country, Michelin's, Gallagher's, engineering companies going to the wall, construction firms, bank closures, shop closures, and young people pushed into university because there's no work for them. And if you go into Belfast any day of the week, you ask yourself, is there anyone working? And the number of people on DLA. So if you factor in all them things, the unemployment figures have run at about 7 or 8% in this country. A month ago, I read in the paper that Northern Ireland has the highest unemployment figures in the UK. And now we're told there's full employment. Nonsense. If you go to Ballymena and ask them ones in Ballymena who have lost their jobs and Michelin and Gallagher's, are they working today? I'm sure half of them are not working. And the same with the bank closures. If you go into a banker, you see charity shops and shops closed. So I don't know how they fabricate these figures. They make this government of ours look good. Our industry is going to the wall. We're relying on tourists for our trade and hotels. That's the real facts of this contract. There's no jobs for young people. They're having to move out of here when they get their college degrees because there's no work for them.
Norman, thank you. Bertie Lisburn. Morning, Bertie.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I think it's shameless the way this government's carrying on with this 0 hours contracts, 16 hours. Well, many employers, this is handy for them because they can put the workers on the 16 hours through the books, and then they can keep them on working the rest of the week or as many hours as they like.
But isn't that the point? It's handy for them. It's handy for an employer. It means that an employer can prosper.
Oh, yes, it means the employer can prosper, but the person is just getting the 16 hours and they get more money, and the rest of the week they can put the money in their hand. As long as they put the 16 hours through the book, that's legal and above board. But then they can pay them, keep them on for as many or as little days after the 16 hours.
So what are you saying? What are you saying, Bertie? What way do you think it should be?
Well, I give them full employment. Full employment. Give them a written contract of whatever, 30 hours or 40 hours or whatever. But for this year, it's egregious, so it is. The person's just being taken on, so they are.
What do you mean taken on? What do you mean?
Well, being taken, there's no prospect of getting a full-time job while they're getting away with this stunt, so there's not. They should give them a proper contract, so they should. And give them proper hours, 30 hours or 40 hours. Make an agreement with the worker.
Well, Edward and Lauren, you're still there, right?
I would agree.
Hold on. Stay there, Edward.
Edward,
stay there, because I want you to hear from Eddie and Lisburn, who has a different perspective.
Yes.
He's on a 0 hour contract, and he likes it. Edward,
yes.
Eddie and Lisburn, tell Edward
why.
Hold on. Have a listen to him. Go on, Eddie.
Hello.
Go on.
Hello. I'm on a 0 hour contract.
Yep.
I work part-time, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Okay.
See, to be honest, if you're good at your job, you'll get all the hours you want. I work about 25 hours a week, 30 hours a week. I could work 40, 50 or 60 if I wanted, because I'm good at my job. You know what I mean?
But not everybody's as fortunate. Maybe it's yourself.
But that... What do you mean?
You know, take that young fella that's on there this morning. His father was on, sure, and he's just sitting there waiting. He's not guaranteed anything, and he has no prospects at all.
Well, see, to be honest, I think if you want to work, there's work out there, to be honest.
I would agree with that. I just think,
yep.
If
the 0 hours contract suits me down to the ground.
I
work 5 days a week. I still work part-time. But it suits me because...
Yep. So are you building...
Say,
are you
I'm good at my job and I can get do all the hours
you
that I want.
Are you building up any rights, Eddie?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean in terms of, you know, security, that you've got a full-time job and a pension and employee rights.
Employers nowadays, Stephen, if they have more than one employee, they have to provide pension contributions and all this. But I work for minimum everything. I get minimum wage, minimum holidays, statutory sick day, minimum, you know. But at the end of the day, it suits me. Not everybody on a 0 hours contract is downtrodden and all the rest of it. I live quite well, and I work part-time, and I'm on a 0 hours contract.
And here we're hearing the other side of it.
It's not all doom and gloom, right there.
William in Belfast, you're of a similar opinion. Morning, William.
Good morning, Stephen. I have my private pension. I'm retired. See, the 0 hour contract absolutely tops me up. Great. In actual fact, should be mentioned, I do radar. So forth in my whenever it suits me.
Well, do you?
So I have 3 salaries.
You do radar? That's the radio listening figures.
I do.
So well, I hope you tick the box when you're listening to me.
Yes, and you need to treat me a bit better sometimes. Only joking.
Get you that box ticked for the Nolan show, quick.
The 0 hour contract is excellent for retired people, and especially if you have a private pension from your previous job.
But what if you're on the other...
Now, listen,
what if
I'm not retired, I'm not that old yet.
I understand that. There's a big problem.
Let me